Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, my brother.
How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Oh, well, man, keeping okay. Cannot complain at all. We're talking about the VOP lesson, which talks about where and when will hell burn. It's a place that every Christian has dreaded over ever since we heard of it. And we live our entire lives so that we can perhaps avoid that place, if possible, by all means necessary. Now, eternal damnation.
So, but before we answer the question where and when hell will burn, let me make a clarification to our listeners that hell is not a place, but rather an event.
Okay.
For example, if I say I have a wedding on June 21st, 2025, it doesn't mean the wedding is in progress. And it also doesn't mean that there is such a place called a wedding. Rather, an event to take place on the same date. And so, contrary to some popular teachings and misconceptions the world has been filled with, the Bible plainly tells us that God does not have a place pending at the moment called hell. And to better understand this, we will head to Revelation 20, verses 9 to 15, where in summary, the Bible gives us a picture of this event called the hellfire, where the devil and his allies will finally burn. And the Bible here shows that no wicked person who dies today straight away goes to that place called hell. So it's something God will carry out at, on the final day of judgment. It's not happening now. It will happen someday. So once again, hell is not a place, rather an event to take place. I think this should explain why those who die today in their wickedness do not straight away go to there. It's something that God has prepared to do, but in the near future, not exactly today. Yes. Now, we need to understand this. It wasn't, and it has never been God's arrangement to have someone ending up in hell fires. When we read Matthew 25, verse 41, where Jesus gives an illustration of how the wicked will be punished, he says, okay, God will separate the righteous from the wicked, just as a shepherd separates the goats from, the sheep. And to those who are lost, you will say, okay, depart from me, you cursed, into an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, the expression prepared for the devil and his angels gives us a clue to say, okay, in God's plan, in God's arrangement, he decided to destroy the devil, who is the originator of sin, and his angels, now called the demons. However, some people will burn with him and his angels. So some people will burn, for the fires is meant for the adversary, because they cling to sin, they cling to Satan's lies. But once again, it was never, and it has never been God's desire to destroy humanity through hellfire. People will just find themselves there, because while God is pleading for them to return to him, to quit life of sin, to stop listening to the devil's lies, to obey God, they decide in this life to remain in their sins. And so hell is something that God is arranging to do, to use to, to cleanse the world, to destroy the devil, the originator of sin, and his angels. But never has it crossed God's mind to say, okay, I'll use fire to destroy the wicked, humanity. In the biblical histories of God's dealings in the generations of Noah and the Lord shows that God doesn't and will never destroy the sinners with righteous together. You remember in Genesis chapter 7, 8, 9, where we learned about the flood.
Yeah, God had
first to take Noah and his family into the ark before bringing the rains that brought the flood. And in like manner, in the generation of Lot, in Genesis chapter 19, we see God commanding Noah and his daughters to go out of Sodom and Gomorrah before he could destroy it with fire. And this is an illustration. This is a picture of what God will do. He will have to take the righteous people to heaven first before bringing the fire to this earth to destroy the wicked, the devil, and his angels. And I remember in a great controversy, chapter number 42, the book by Ellen White, chapter number 42, by the title of The Great Controversy Ended. The first paragraph, she says, at the close of 1,000 years, Christ again returns to the earth. He is accompanied by the host of the redeemed and attended by the retinue of angels. And as he descends in a terrific majesty, he bids the wicked dead arise to receive their doom. They come forth, mighty house, numberless as the sons of the sea. And she says, what a contrast to those who were raised at the first resurrection. And he says, as the wicked are given the power to rise, to come back to life, Christ now sends the fire to destroy them together with the devil. And so when you listen to that quotation, what the Bible is trying to tell us is that this world will come to an end. And when the end comes, Jesus is coming to take the righteous to heaven. And as he comes to take the righteous home, the wicked who were alive upon seeing Jesus will face death. And those who were already dead in their graves will continue sleeping. And these righteous who have been taken by Jesus to heaven will stay there for 1,000 years. And the evidence of that is found in Revelation chapter 21. So the righteous will be taken to heaven for 1,000 years. And after the expire of 1,000 years in heaven, God will have to, Jesus with the redeemed will have to come to the earth, because the earth originally God arranged to be the home of humanity. And so as Jesus is descending with the redeemed after 1,000 years, this is the time now where the fire is being sent on the earth to destroy the wicked, to destroy the devil and his angels. So once again, hell is not a place where God has just arranged to say, okay, this is where all the wicked are going instantly after death. No. So both the wicked and the righteous today, those who die, go to the grave. They are waiting for the impending event called hellfire. And for those righteous, they are waiting for Jesus to come and take them home.
Now, according to Jesus himself, when will the burning take place? How far are we? You've told us that there's going to be 1,000 years. How far are we to the 1,000 years? Are we close? Are we left with? Are we left with a couple of 100 years? How far are we?
All right. In Matthew chapter number 13, in the other parts of the Bible, Jesus repeatedly told how this event will occur and what will, follow before Jesus destroys the wicked. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 39 to 42, Jesus says the harvest is the end of the age. In other words, the world. And the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. We understand that for some of us who have had the time to do farming, there is a time where you come to harvest and you bind together those weeds and bend them. And you take the crops, you take the seeds, you take what's needed home. So Jesus here illustrates that at the end of this world, As I just said, that the righteous will have to be taken to heaven, because God does not destroy the wicked and the righteous together. The righteous have to be taken to heaven, and at the expiry of 1,000 years, Jesus now comes to the earth, and the ones doing this work is the work of, you know, reaping the angels, just as we read in the verse. And continuing with verse number 40 to 42, Bible says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. So the angels will do the work. So how long we have from now to that time, we do not specifically have that time, but what the Bible tells us is that at the end of this world, as Jesus comes to claim his own, there will be time at the expiry of 1,000 years. Christ will come and he will bend them. Sure.
Now tell me, Mark, what is the importance of waiting until the whole universe is assured that God has been fair in his dealings with humanity before the earth is finally destroyed?
It is important because, my brother, if we study the great controversy that has been going on for years and for years now, we see that Satan has been attempting to prove to the universe that the way of sin is the better way. And sadly, the world has bent on his lies. Today, it's easy to learn sin. It's easy to manipulate people. It's easy to get rich. It's just easy to be in sexual immorality than it is to be on the God's side. So for so many years, Satan has convinced the world that his way is better than God's. He has convinced the world that God is, you know, that bad, bad ruler and bad God. He is not good. And on the other hand, Jesus has been demonstrating the way of obedience as a key to a peaceful, more satisfying life. So this demonstration will culminate in the judgment of Satan and his angels and the wicked, but at the end of this age. So there has to be time for Satan to be fully understood by people that he meant bad. And in, I think, Isaiah chapter number 14 and Ezekiel 29, the Bible says, and the kings and the world will look at you, narrowly look at you and say, is this the man who made the whole world to tremble? What will make people tremble? What will make people to have such comments is, I mean, this is not the person. This person had not to do this. So even today, you know, when Satan convinced one third of the angels that God was not a good ruler, that the kingdom of God was full of, you know, cruelty, and he tried to convince them and he was cast out of heaven, those angels who remained with God in heaven for some time thought the devil had been unfairly treated, until they saw what he did to Christ on the cross. So it is important that time is given to the world before hellfire is brought on the wicked, before Satan is judged. The time has to be there for people to understand that God meant really good, and God has been always good, unlike the devil, who has been persuading the world that his way is perfect.
Well, but that's a very wonderful one. Thank you so much, my brother, Mark German. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Have a fantastic afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.